sports fans, and welcome to the first ever, first edition, first episode of Almost Varsity Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John, otherwise known as LJ.
And hey, what's up, everybody? I am Angel Steve 89, also known as Just Steve. And it's about time we finally sat down and got this first ever podcast going.
We've been talking about doing this for a while now. Steve and I have decided it's about time to let our readers, who have gone a little while without seeing any articles or hearing anything from the Twitter account, get back into our world and hopefully make some money for everyone this upcoming football season and beyond through NHL, NBA, and MLB next year.
Yeah, they said it. It's really easy to create a podcast, so we decided to come up with this idea about a year ago, and we finally figured it out last night. Maybe. I think it's recording. We'll find out.
So we're going to kick this off with probably my favorite idea that Steve had when we were shooting around ideas, and kind of get right into it and start our show the way every national broadcast starts off their shows, with a little quick talk on Notre Dame. Steve, you want to lead us off?
Yes. This segment called Why Notre Dame Sucks. And quite simply, Rudy. Rudy fucking sucks. Terrible movie. Not even that good of a story. Done. Moving on. What do you got?
But he did almost make a tackle. Actually, I think he had one tackle in that game. All right. So maybe it could be all right. My reason of why Notre Dame sucks, Charlie Weiss. We are years after Charlie Weiss buried Notre Dame for a few years before Brian Kelly would come in to fix the program somewhat, and he buried that team under mounds and mounds of debt and mounds of losses while he was there. And on the way out, he brought Kansas down with him. So there's another program he killed on the way out, thanks to Notre Dame.
The guy can do everything but lose weight. Somehow he still gets like $20 million a year, and he's clearly just buying like Oreos. Like, we're probably going to see him pop up in like 2 years and do it again to another small school.
I'm pretty sure he's getting paid by three schools right now. He may still be under Belichick's payroll somehow in New England. go ahead.
No, I was going to mention how the Patriots probably still have him out there just like doing some like illegal recruiting or something to help Belichick get another step ahead.
Let me tell you, if he wasn't at Kansas, I'd say that's a legitimate argument. But I don't think you're recruiting anything out of the University of Kansas, unless it's in basketball.
So, yeah, each week we're going to give you a couple of reasons why Notre Dame sucks in general, especially their football team, but all sports and everything else about them, just because it's they're just not fun to even root for.
Next up, we have another good one that we want to get into before we start our little college football preview episode. Pretty frequently, we're going to try to get you into some dumb things that athletes do in the world of sports. This segment, otherwise known as Highly Recruited, Highly Educated.
You know, these guys would definitely be, these are the type of guys that we're going to see that are somehow get into, you know, Stanford and all these Ivy League schools, but somehow don't know how to sharpen a pencil and do some really dumb things throughout the year.
Like mention Stanford as an Ivy League school?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, something like
that. Yeah, that's the first one. First one of the year. I like it. All right, so I'm going to start us off with our first highly recruited, highly educated. I guess some would say not so highly recruited. As you guys are pretty well aware right now, there's a Netflix series that is sweeping the nation called Last Chance University. It is huge. Everybody's watching it. Everybody's tweeting about it. It's all the rage on ESPN, on all your sports, on Fox Sports. And running back DJ Law, who was highly scrutinized throughout the series of being one of the best players on the team and wouldn't go to class. To prove how highly recruited and highly educated this guy is, he ended up parlaying his senior season to a scholarship over at University of Alabama, Birmingham. The once defunct, now brought back to life, Blazers team is back, and they offered him a scholarship. As of today, August 23rd, he still is not on campus for practice.
This guy's an absolute genius. I mean, if you watch the show, like, he would just stare at the camera blankly, and then, like, he would talk to their the little mentor they had there, who's a sneaky little hot woman there down in Mississippi.
She was, I love her.
Yeah, how does someone like that in Mississippi get divorced?
Yeah, I have no idea.
But this kid literally would just be like, I'm not doing it. I don't want to deal with this. I'm not doing this bullshit. Like, dude, you're in Mississippi Community College. Like, can you do simple math? Good. Now you can go become like a big SEC star. Like, he was originally recruited at. Didn't have the grades for that. Figured he'd go do community college and then just never got his act together. I mean, the chances he ends up on campus has got to be slim to none at this point.
At this point, I think he's screwed. When you decide to have your senior year, you get hurt, you're out for 2 weeks, and you miss 20 quizzes. I don't understand how you don't just show up and do the bare minimum to get through. You ended up with a scholarship. You screwed it up. You, my friend, are not so highly educated.
I mean, the teachers there, like, I mean, we all saw The Blind Side, and that was at, like, a big school. They give them the answers, and they just don't even bother doing it. So he's definitely on our list, and we won't be able to forget him, too. My next guy is Cam Robinson of Alabama. He is very highly recruited and very highly educated. This guy is going to be a stud in the NFL if he can stop carrying around stolen guns. I mean, what are you doing, kid? Like, you're going to be a top 10 pick. Don't go out stealing some guns. Make some couple million bucks next year. No, don't worry about it. I'm just going to go smoke some weed with my friends and do all this stuff. But the crazier thing about this is they, like, just let him off the hook. No presses, no press charges, you know.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised by that? No charges? Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, Nick Saban over there really cleaning up the school and, you know, creating kids for the real world over here. But just nothing's going to happen with this kid. He's going to, you know, he's probably going to be – do amazing this year, do a great combine, be a top five pick, and we're going to forget that he's just driving around Alabama with stolen guns.
Yep.
But that's what happens when you're highly recruited and highly educated. But we got a third one, actually, this week to start it off with the big three. Sometimes it's not the recruits that screw up this badly. We've had, you know, this week the story is that Michigan was out there sending thank you emails to all future recruits for attending their summer barbecue. The only problem is these kids did not attend their barbecue. So now they don't feel like they're actually, you know, special. Like, you know, Jim Harbaugh goes into the living room and says, you're one of a kind, while they're just sending out blank emails, spelling kids' names wrong, and, you know, saying, so come to Michigan.
My favorite aspect of this story is that he went from ready to go to Michigan. He was like, all right, I'm in. Jim Harbaugh is, by the way, blowing up the recruiting trail, pulling in recruits right hand over fist and just absolutely killing it. This defensive tackle, Aubrey Solomon, was down to, I think, 4 or 5 schools. He gets this stupid letter from Michigan, who I'm pretty positive is probably just some football intern, University of Michigan athletics intern, who is literally sending a mass letter to everyone on this list. And now this 4-star recruit is probably crossing Michigan right off that list, and he's going to go right into the hands of one of these rivals. And we both have talked about how Jim Harbaugh is, maybe not this year, maybe not next, but is going to bring this program to national prominence sooner rather than later. And losing high recruits, 4-star guys, to your biggest rivals that you're going to be competing in year in and year out. The other 3 of his final 4 were SEC schools. So this guy is literally opening up his recruitment, going right into the heartland of America where they play the best football, and probably going to sign up with one of those guys, and just another reason Michigan's not going to get over that hump.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, I don't know how much it's going to hurt them. Jim Harbaugh will probably say, like, they really didn't want him anyway, to make it seem like he did nothing wrong here, but you know, that's what khaki pants Jim does. You just you always think he gets his way, but sometimes I think we're in the next few years we might find out he might not be getting his way. But if he doesn't, he's got what, 3 years until he gets a title until he's considered a failure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it'll be that quickly. But he'll jump ship after he brings that program up, just like he's done with 49ers, for example. Brought them up and just jumped ship, wanted to go back to college. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens here as well.
Yeah, so it just goes to show that, you know, the kids may not be the smartest either, but sometimes the schools themselves are not highly recruitable and not highly educated.
All right, so now we're going to move on to, obviously, we're well aware that football season is back. It's the best time of year. fall weather, it starts getting a little cool, the leaves start changing colors, and every Saturday and Sunday are filled with buckets of Bud Light sitting my butt in front of the TV from 11 a.m. to midnight every single, each night, and then maybe being able to get out. So we'll see if we can do that. But obviously with football season underway and in plain sight, we're going to give you some of our best picks for the year, and we're going to start with some over-under picks for the year that were released for, in Vegas a few months ago. Obviously, we're just starting today, so we want you guys to be able to make some money this year and get these in before the season kicks off. I'm going to go with my number one pick for the offseason, and you guys can pretty much start counting your Christmas dollars and getting ready to buy your family and friends presents with the Miami Hurricanes over 7 or 7.5 wins. I've seen it in multiple places as different amounts, different win totals, and I will take both of them. For this podcast, I'll say over 7.5 just so any of our listeners lose, we will have lost as well. I'm taking the over 7.5 on Miami as my number one pick of the year.
I just thought I don't have a actual favorite college football team, but growing up, like, Miami was the school you had to root for, and I wish that they were, you know, back in their cocaine days right now, because, you know, we're a little older and can understand what really goes on down there. But hopefully this is the beginning of the rise of the U back to college football prominence every year in and out.
Oh, I think they're going to be back. Mark Richt is back. This team is good. The seventh floor crew is probably going to be pictured or played in that locker room. Mark Richt is ready to embrace the past of Miami. He's got some talent. He's got Brad Kaya under center. That team is going to be good. Brad Kaya is going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft next year. I'm going over 7 wins. My number two one that I absolutely love as well is the Iowa Hawkeyes out of the Big Ten. Everyone's talking about Ohio State. Everyone's talking about Michigan. No one's talking, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never, ever been around or heard of a sleeper team that was 12-0 the prior year to start the year.
Right. It's ridiculous. You know, you start doing all these things, and it's like right off the bat, again, it's like, oh, Iowa is so overrated. I mean, yes, they didn't play great in, like, you know, the end of the year, but, like, they literally were undefeated, and they didn't lose that many players. Like, why would they not be able to put a run like that on again this year? And it's just for some reason, everywhere I'm reading, it's like, you know, they're not going to be good as good this year. Take the under all around. I don't know. What did you have it set at over, like?
It's right now it's at 8.5. I love the over. I mean, last year they were 12-0, ended the season against Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship. To be honest, that game was a one-play game either way. They ended up losing by 3 points, 16-13. They could have won that game, and that could have been them in the Final Four. Yeah, they probably would have gotten romped by Alabama, but they would have been in the Final Four. They didn't help their cause because the last view in everyone's mind is getting stomped out by Christian McCaffrey and the Stanford offense losing 45-16. But stop me if you think I'm wrong here. They start out the season with Miami of Ohio, Iowa State, North Dakota State, Rutgers, Northwestern, Minnesota, Purdue, and then they go on the road for an actual test at Wisconsin. Right there, I have them at 7-0, and we haven't even hit the meat of their schedule yet.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think 8.5 seems way too low. I mean, they start off with a nice little cupcake schedule, but then they're also this team we've seen over the past few years. It's like they always do pull off a big win somewhere, so you have to count that into it. So if you've got them at 7 right there already, and then if, you know, another, you know, ending it up, you know, at Penn State, you know, they're not really Penn State anymore. You know, you're at 8 and they still have 3 games to go.
Yep, and then you get Michigan, your toughest test of the year, Michigan at home. You go on the road to Illinois, who sucks every year. Nebraska will be tough. I like Nebraska. I like Tommy Armstrong, senior under center. He's been there for like 17 years. He's finally a senior, so that could give Iowa some trouble. Wisconsin's going to have a good defense again. They're not going to be able to throw. It's going to be the typical ground and pound for Wisconsin and your stereotypical Big Ten football. But this is a very winnable schedule. To be honest, I was right there with Miami. I might have them 1-1A as my favorite picks of the year. My third one I really like is San Diego State University. I'm going off the beaten path here a little bit. But it's kind of the same way that I looked at Iowa. And when you take a look at them and you actually dissect the schedule a little bit and the teams around them, that conference is not very good, besides, obviously, your typical Boise State. Air Force is going to be okay. But the conference isn't good up top to bottom. San Diego State plays in the west side of the Mountain West. They get Nevada, San Jose State, UNLV, Fresno State, Hawaii. Those teams stink. They play New Hampshire. Northern Illinois is tough. They're going Division II to play South Alabama. I mean, come on. They're over-under right now and set at 9. This team could legitimately run the table and go undefeated. I'm high on Houston this year. Because of the talent, I think they can actually win a playoff game if they make it. San Diego State will probably, you know what, I'm going to say an 11-1 season is a minimum here. I think they could go undefeated and still get left out of the college football playoff.
Yeah, I know. You said it's a little off the beaten path, but, you know, I'm not as big of a college football fanatic, junkie as you are, to put it nicely. But, you know, this is a team that I've even seen out there, you know, all over, you know, the other sites, blogs and Twitters and stuff. They're saying this is a team that 9.5 just doesn't seem to make sense for them. So I probably will never watch any of their games. I will probably blindly bet on them and their games and probably lose. But it's a team that's going to be now on my radar.
Don't worry. The Almost Varsity Sports team, we're going to take those three. We're going to run to the bank. You guys are going to cash your checks and you can send us your tweets at the end of the year. Those are the three big ones that we love here. The rest of the slate, I want to give you a few, which, again, we're going to go more in-depth with all these on the site over the next couple days. We're going to post a lot more articles leading up to this. But over the after those top three, I like over on Texas A&M. No one's talking about A&M. Everyone's talking about the big boys of the SEC. I love over on TCU. They lost Trevon Boykin under center. They lost Josh Doxson at wideout. Gary Patterson is a great coach. The defense consistently comes to play. They're going to win over 8.5 wins. Now I got some unders, which probably won't make me too happy by those fans if they start listening here. I like the under on Oklahoma. If you take a look at that schedule, Steve, it is absolutely brutal.
We're going to get into them a little bit later, but yeah, they've got talent, but then the schedule, you know, is almost just as important in college football as talent.
And the schedule is absolutely brutal. Their out-of-conference game, for example, they thought they were scheduling a cupcake a few years ago that when they put Houston on the schedule and agreed to the out-of-conference game. Houston's going to be very, very good. I'm not saying Oklahoma's not good. I'm not saying they're not going to get to 10 wins. I'm just saying to bet on that team with that schedule, it's just not smart. You get the rivalry game at Oklahoma State. Baylor, you're going to get tripped up. TCU, you're on the road at Texas. You're actually playing a neutral site in Dallas. You get Houston. It's just I forgot about this. After they open the season with Houston, 2 weeks later, they're playing Ohio State. So this is a very tough schedule. You got to go under here. Another one I like, Michigan under 10 wins. I think everyone is talking Jim Harbaugh. Everyone's talking Michigan football. Ohio State is still the class of that conference, and they will win that conference. Michigan under 10 wins. And just one last one I got is Arkansas under 7.5 wins. Every year this team is going to make the turn, and pundits across the nation are saying Arkansas, this is their year to make noise in the SEC. Guess what? They never do it. They never live up to expectations. 7.5 wins is bold. I have a 6 or 7 win season for them. I don't see them getting to 8-4. Take the under on Arkansas. Book it. Let's
nice.
Go. All
and right. Then I've got one for my for my basketball fans that think their school is only about basketball. I'm gonna talk about my Dukies real quick. Duke has made 4 straight bowl games, which I don't think people realize, and they've been nationally ranked a few times over the past few years. But while saying that, I think that, you know, you already mentioned some strong ACC teams. I think Duke takes another step backwards this year and actually misses bowl season, and they only finish with 5 wins. Right now, the over-under is set at 5.5, so they're going to be right on that cusp of, you know, reaching for a bowl game. But, you know, their schedule towards the end of the year gets way too tough, where I don't think they're going to get that extra win to put them over into them. They've got some talent, but, you know, they got an amazing coach over there, the guy that used to, you know, coach Eli and Peyton growing up. but it's going to be another few years until Duke becomes an ACC powerhouse in football like they are in basketball.
I agree with you. I think David Cutcliffe has that team on the rise. I just, like you said they're in the season rough. They're on the road at Georgia Tech. They got Virginia Tech. They got North Carolina. They're at Pittsburgh and at Miami in a rivalry game. It's just too much for them to deal with. I agree. I'll agree with you there, Steve. Duke wasn't on my radar, but I do like the under 5.5 as well.
Yeah, this is not a talent pick. I think this is more of just a schedule pick. And, you know, as it is with all sports, the ACC always is strong. And this one's going to come back to hurt the Dukies for once.
Yeah, this is especially a strong year for the ACC. It'll be good on the top of each division. You got North Carolina, Miami in the Coastal. You got Clemson, Florida State, Louisville in the Atlantic. Not to mention some of those other guys who are going to bounce back, like Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh. So we'll see how that goes. Next, I want Steve to get into a little Heisman talk for us.
Yeah, so we just gave you the team-by-team kind of breakdown here, but then, you know, what matters more in the teams are the actual players here. So I'm going to, you know, the Heisman talks, you know, you'll go into kind of the bigger top names here. I'm going to give you guys a little value pick, a little – it's not really a sleeper because it's a big name out there, but if you're looking to try and win some money on the Heisman, I think the pick here is going to be Baker Mayfield. He's right now listed on our site at plus 1,000. I think, you know, as the – you know, it's going to get even higher from that. People are going to be loading up on guys like DeSean and, you know, Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey. So hopefully that value gets even a little bit better here. And we talked about Oklahoma. They had the talent. They're going to be in the big games. They're going to be on the big stages, on the big ESPN games. And Baker Mayfield's already got a top four, you know, Heisman place in his back pocket. And he could make that a step. You know, if they win these big games we're going to talk about, they have to consider him for the Heisman then.
You absolutely hit it on the head. It's the national spotlight. Oklahoma is going to consistently be in the national spotlight. Baker Mayfield is a stud already. We saw it last year. I was the biggest Baker Mayfield hater in the world with all of his dance videos and Oklahoma's bullshit. Every game we saw something on their team, and I was sick of Baker Mayfield. But the kid can play. He throws all over the field. They have weapons all around him. I do like what he can do. So I'll touch on I'll go with my selection for the Heisman this year. Unfortunately, I was high on him last year, and if you read our website last year, you saw that we...
They didn't.
Yeah. Well, if they did, let me tell you, if they did, we were spot on with a lot of our college football analysis, and one of them was saying that Deshaun Watson was going to storm onto the national stage and be in the spotlight by the end of the year. He did it more than I could have imagined. He's the favorite in the in Vegas right now at 3.5 to 1 to win the Heisman. Unfortunately, that's where all my eggs are in his basket to win the Heisman. But
no way, a Clemson guy?
Picking another Clemson guy. But I think he's got the weapons. He's got everything around him. The team's gonna that we talked about the spotlight. They're gonna be in the spotlight from square one, being preseason number two. He's got one of the most prolific offenses in NCAA history. They're going to put up 40 points a game. He's probably going to win the Heisman. Just let me tell you that Steve mentioned Baker Mayfield's odds with Deshaun Watson at 3.5 to 1. It's not worth the money. One guy I would like to point out, if you're interested in a long shot, obviously you got Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey at the top. Baker Mayfield's the next tier. At 10 to 1. If you're looking even further down for an even further shot, Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. We're going to mention him in the article, and it's going to be published later on this weekend. And he has all the tools. He can move. He can throw. He got hurt last year, and he came on the scene at Louisville. Reggie Bonifon was the quarterback there. He sucked. But I don't know. I don't know what took him so long to get this guy in the field. He's absolutely electric. If Louisville plays in the tough ACC Atlantic, they get Clemson, they get Florida State. If they can win one of those games, it makes it very interesting because the ACC Atlantic could end up in a three-way tie, which means Louisville could sneak in to the ACC title game, which means they also could sneak in to a Final Four berth. And if that happens, Lamar Jackson is going to be a front runner for the Heisman Trophy.
So there's our big-time players here. And you already mentioned the playoffs. You know, this is going to be the third year of the college football playoffs. And thankfully, they've moved them off, you know, New Year's Eve because I think maybe two people in the entire world watched that last year, and that was probably by accident.
Yeah, and I was one of them, but that was on purpose, though.
But so leading us into that, you know, who do you think is going to be the guy that's going to be able to win two playoff games and become champion this year?
Right now, I got to look in the SEC because until the SEC can actually develop a team that flops or a team that's going to have two losses, I'm going to go a little off the beaten path in the SEC. I'm going to look at the other big name in the SEC and go with LSU as coming out of the SEC. I think they're going to be one of my Final Four playoff teams. I think Clemson is going to be my number one seed. LSU is going to be the two. I'm going to go a little out of left field here. I'm going to go Houston at four playing Clemson. And then with LSU, I went back and forth on this, and I wanted to go one way. I wanted to go the other. I had TCU for a little bit. Part of me wanted to go into the Big Ten. Part of me wanted to go to the Big 12 or Pac-10. I'm going to go to Ohio State playing LSU, and they're going to be my three seed. I'm going to have a Clemson versus LSU all-Tiger final, and I'll wait to hear to give my winner of that until after we hear what you got.
Nice. Yeah, so just a little background. I gave LJ a little preview of what the topics I wanted to talk about today, and, of course, I had Houston there as my big team that could, you know, ruin all fantasy projections, and then you go talk first and say, oh, I'm going to go pick in Houston. So you are just coming up with these ideas, you know. I don't know where you get them. But I don't have Houston actually be able to make it. I think that they would be the team that could, you know, sneak in there and go undefeated. But I'm going to go against what you said earlier. And I think Oklahoma is going to be a team that gets in there. You know, Clemson, Alabama, they got to be there. I'm going to wait for, you know, college football, you can't pick. Like, one loss kind of crushes you, and the playoff kind of gets rid of that. And you can have one loss, you might be able to sneak in here. But if there's an undefeated team, I think they need to be in there, whether it is like someone like a San Jose State, you know, like you said earlier, that could run the table, or a Houston that could run the table. I don't want to see any of those teams go undefeated, and then, you know, and Alabama gets to jump them. I know the talent level is completely different, and Alabama would smoke them if they play one-on-one. But the kind of the best thing about sports is, you know, you want to see a team that's not supposed to be the playoffs going.
You want to see David and Goliath. You're right.
You do. I mean, as a Giant fan, you know, we had two Super Bowls because we had
very
mediocre, you know, regular seasons, and then we just sneak into the playoffs and get hot. I think it's time college football starts, you know, the people that are making those, I think Condoleezza Rice is still making this pick over there for some reason. And we need to, you know, let's get an undefeated team in there from a no-name conference and, you know, flip this whole thing upside down.
I would love to see it. That's why you said it earlier, you mentioned it. Houston's the sneaky pick. I just think I wanted to put a Pac-12 team in there. There's just too much uncertainty. Again, like I told you, I'm down on Oklahoma this year. I'm up on TCU. I don't think TCU is going to have enough to get there. And the Pac-12 is just too brutal. I think Washington's going to be good. I think Stanford's going to be good. I think Oregon's always going to be decent. Cal's always good for an upset. USC and UCLA will both be solid. So there's just too much going on in the Pac-12 to think that someone's going to be able to make it there. And in my final, like I said, I have Clemson versus LSU, Battle of the Tigers, a rematch of a couple of years ago when they played in their bowl game. It took a 4th-and-26. They couldn't stop Taj Boyd to DeAndre Hopkins for a first down on New Year's Eve. I'm going to have Clemson winning the rematch of the Tigers, Battle of the Tigers, and Clemson's going to be this year's national title winner.
You're going to wear that ridiculous orange suit again there?
If I have the opportunity, I will be decked out in orange for the final. And, Steve, what do you got?
I'm going to have a rematch of last year. I'm going to have Alabama-Clemson again. You know, it's just – They're both too talented to not be there, and it'll be a shock if it is something different. So it's nothing exciting, it's nothing boring, but it's going to be a repeat. It's going to be Alabama beating Clemson, again, crushing your heart for the second year in a row, and I'm just going to be sitting next to you laughing, you know, enjoying a nice, you know, Bud Light and just being, I can't wait until this happens again for the third year in a row.
Let me tell you, I can't even argue it, because the only reason, and I think it might be heart, that I had LSU there, I think Alabama, I just know if they get in, they're going to take it home. So I can't blame you at all for having them as your national champion.
Well, I want to pick Clemson, but for some reason I just get this sick joy of actually, watching you lose is better than watching the team I want to win. I don't know what it's come of it. Maybe it goes back to our days of the Baltimore radio of just picking against different teams. But seeing that misery is a win for me. So as long as that happens.
I'm glad to make somebody happy there. And, Steve, I just want to throw a few sleeper national title guys. Obviously, we don't – you guys heard our picks. We don't think those are going to be the winners. But if you want to take a shot, throw $10 on a long shot if you're traveling out to Vegas and want to cash in a little bit and have that lottery ticket. Like we said, Steve and I both mentioned Houston. Washington at 40-1 is very intriguing. They're bringing back a lot of starters. They were very young last year. They're going to be a little bit more seasoned this year. They're very good. We had mentioned Louisville and Lamar Jackson's abilities. Louisville could sneak out of the ACC. I don't see it, but it could happen, and it would be a nice long shot. Iowa is another final long shot that we wanted to just mention, just because of the uncertainty in the Big Ten. They could win their side of the conference, go undefeated, and then really all they have is that one big game against either Michigan State, Michigan, or Ohio State. And Steve, as you know, anything happens on any given Sunday, right? Or in this case, Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, or Saturday too, or a Thursday or a Friday.
Yeah, you know, college football is pretty much every day in the week now.
Nice. That's our breakdown of, you know, the teams that we want to see win and lose and the over-unders, our Heisman picks, and some long shots along with the national champion, and some long shots there too. So as we move on, you know, week to week, it's going to be more of a weekly basis here, but we want to give you a quick little preview of everything, and then next week it'll be more of a week one breakdown of the first, you know, that first Saturday of college football. And then we're going to move on to our final segment of the show. You know, we are almost varsity sports, so we were kind of good enough, but, you know, got stuck on that JV squad. So we're going to give you the almost, you know, moments of the week here. And my almost moment of the week here is sadly to my beloved Giants. It's only preseason in the NFL. It doesn't really matter. But everything I'm reading about is how exciting this offense is that we're going to score. You know, as long as Eli doesn't get sacked every play, we're going to score 50, 60 points with Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and, you know, one-legged Victor Cruz. But this week versus the Bills, they put up 64 yards. So Giants offense was almost an NFL offense today. They got a couple weeks to figure it out before week one, but that's not going to cut it. That's almost going to make it. That's our first almost moment of the year.
And I'm going to follow that up, and I was going to go football, I was going to go Olympics, there was a few choices this week. I'm taking a last second almost and going with the entire MLB. You guys almost thought you could count out the Yankees, sellers at the deadlines, getting rid of everybody, cleaning house, and what did Brian Cashman do? He brought in all the young talent in the world. They're now all of a sudden back in the playoff hunt for the wild card. The team's electric. New York's excited to see them play. The Baby Bombers are hitting, and they are hitting everything. They look great. And so I just want to give my first almost moment of the year to the rest of the MLB and their fans.
That is a fantastic.
That was kind of on the fly there.
All right. I think that's a pretty solid first show here. You know, as we said, we're going to try and do this weekly. You know, my lady friend is off in Philadelphia, and John's is up on the Upper East Side, which might even be farther than Philadelphia. So we got some time on our hands during the week, and we hope that you guys keep listening. You know, follow us on Twitter, read the page, and we'll see you guys next week.
Keep listening. Tune in.
Bye.
Bye. Clear eyes, full hearts, kid.